According to a common synodical shibboleth, the man does not seek the office, but the office seeks the man. For what it's worth, such words are often uttered by men seeking office. That is to say, the church is full of ambitious people. But that's like saying the sky is blue. The church has a long history of ambition, from medieval popes who ruled the world while claiming to be the servant of servants, to present-day demagogues who brag about having a servant's heart. In a world of feigned humility, it's almost refreshing to gaze upon the naked ambition of James. Though less prominent than his brother, James held membership in the inner circle of disciples who alone witnessed such dramatic events as the raising of Jairus' daughter and the transfiguration. Jesus took to calling James and John the sons of thunder. Perhaps they earned the moniker for their over-the-top behavior, as when they offered to bring down destruction on a Samaritan village that had rejected their message. We also know that along with his brother John, James seems to have been anxious to topple Peter from his seat of apostolic supremacy. James's ambition was driven by a mother who, full of chutzpah, approached our Lord and asked that her two sons sit at our Lord's right and left hand in the kingdom of heaven. Sure, James and John can be faulted for their ambition, but then my 8-year-old son wants to be president of the United States. And who among us in his heart of hearts doesn't think that if given the chance, he'd make a pretty good synodical president? If good men aren't ambitious, then bad men will prevail. Then again, when surveyed, some 90% of us pastors consider themselves to be above average preachers, which shows that most of us are plagued by delusions of grandeur. That admittedly can be helpful in getting through the day. To give him credit, underneath James' ambition lay a strong, if not fully developed, faith. James and John craved prime seats at the table in the kingdom of God, which means they actually believed the kingdom of God would come. And they knew that kingdom centered on the person of Jesus. What they hadn't figured out was that the road to glory runs through a dark forest of suffering and death. And so Jesus treats James and John with kid gloves, saying, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" To which they naively answer, "Yes." Well, what became of the ambition of James and John? Eventually, it was rewarded. No, John would never take the place of Peter. But then, not burdened with high office, he fulfilled his own high calling and went on to write what is no doubt the simplest and most profound of all the Gospels. And his other great book, whether he likes it or not, continues to inspire best-selling novels to this very day. John's legacy has arguably surpassed that of his ecclesiastical superior. As for James, well, he never got around to writing a book, but he received a different honor. While John died a natural death, James became the first apostle to fully drink the cup of our Lord's suffering. For wielding the sword of the Spirit, he was baptized with the sword of Herod's fiery wrath. And whether or not James is sitting at our Lord's right hand, he now and forever wears the martyr's crown of glory. P.S. More than ever, we need people willing to stand up and be leaders, like Peter. And more than ever, we need writers like John. But whether we lead or write, preach or listen, we all do well to remain faithful unto death like James and like our Lord, who laid aside his own heavenly crown and whose greatest ambition was to lay down his life as a ransom for us all. Amen.